champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won. I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavens.
Heavenly place, undefeated, with the one. never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful.
here on a Wednesday night, you can go ahead and greet your neighbor, and then you can find your seat.
God bless you, everyone. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday evening. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us? I have to tell you, that song, The Goodness of God, that's just one of those songs that I can put on repeat and just let it play over and over and over again, because it's really how I feel in my spirit. God has just been so wonderfully good to us. Is that your testimony? Can you say amen to that? He has been good to us. Amen. He does. He never stops. That's absolutely right, John. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm excited about tonight. This is our first Wednesday. Every summer we do a summer pulpit series, and the Lord gives us something a little different every year. And the Lord put it on my heart a while back ago to invite some of our sons and daughters of the house, some of our own kids who grew up right here at Harvest Time Church, and are now serving the Lord in full-time ministry, to come back and just pour into us. And so this is the inaugural night. So you're here for for the initial kickoff, and it's just going to keep getting better and better and better through the month. Next week, our friend Josh Guglielmo is going to be here. Josh is serving as a discipleship pastor here in Connecticut, and he's going to bring a great word on the 21st of July. Pastor Dan McCauley, who was on staff with us for almost 10 years, is going to just be leading in a worship night, and that is going to be a great night. Pastor Dan has just got an amazing anointed gift for worship, and we're just going to celebrate the presence of the Lord that night. And then on the 28th of July, we're going to have a water baptism service. And so if there's someone here, you've not yet been baptized in water, believer's baptism, since you received Jesus, we just want to encourage you to pray about taking that step of water baptism with us on Wednesday, July 28th. You might have been baptized as a baby. I was baptized as a baby in the Presbyterian Church, and that's meaningful. To the extent that it was an expression of faith on the part of my parents. But believer's baptism is when we have made our own personal decision to follow Jesus, and we follow him in that step of water baptism. So it's going to be an exciting couple of Wednesday evenings. There's a summertime sports program for kids happening outside, and if you have some kids or know some folks with kids, you can invite them to be part of that, and our youth group is meeting over in the community room, the old sanctuary, tonight. So I'm excited that our friend Franco Martinez is here with us this evening. The Martinez family has been part of our church, I think it's 24 years that you've been part of our Harvest Time family. And so Franco and his sisters grew up right here at Harvest Time Church. When we moved into the first sanctuary, we couldn't afford to hire a maintenance man. And so Homer gave us about 2 years that he took care of the facility, the entire facility, as a labor of love, as a volunteer. And we were finally able to bring him onto our staff on a part-time basis. And Homer takes care of this entire 60,000 square foot facility single-handedly, and he does a beautiful job taking care of this house, and we're so grateful. So I wanted to be sons and daughters of the house, and a lot of our young ladies who grew up at Harvest Time in our ministry are engaged and couldn't come back to be with us. But as it turns out, Franco is going to come share the word with us in just a moment. His sister Mary is preaching for the youth group this evening. So we have dueling Martinez's, and we have a son and a daughter of the house bringing the word in two different rooms this evening. Franco studied for ministry at Valley Forge Christian College outside of Philadelphia. After he graduated, he was a youth pastor in Mayopac area for about, 4 or 5 years, Franco? Then he went to serve on the staff of Christian Life Church. He was the youth pastor and the campus pastor of one of their campuses in Vernon, Connecticut. And most recently, he has taken a new assignment at Bethany Assembly of God Church in Agawam, Massachusetts. He is the Connections Pastor, and he is in charge of discipleship and in charge of getting new people plugged into the life and the body of the church. Franco has a great preaching gift. His wife, Jackie, is here with him tonight. They got married right here in this sanctuary. They brought a wonderful friend, Rachel, with them this evening. Welcome, Rachel. We're glad to have you and part of our family tonight. Franco's just finished a new book that is called Encountering Grace, that is still in the final editing process and getting ready to be published. But when that is published, we're all going to buy 100 copies each. So would you mind standing for just a moment and give your best welcome to our son, Franco Martinez.
Wow. Good evening, Harvest Time. It's such a joy to be here with you tonight, because were it not for this church, for its ministry, I don't know that I'd be standing here in front of you at this moment. It truly is humbling to return to you today as a son of the house. And as a son of the house, there are two pastors that I was fortunate enough to grow up under. And so I look at Pastor Nick, and I'm immediately taken back to being 13, 14 years old. It was about 21, 22 years ago, and I'm getting ready to preach my first short sermon at a fine arts competition. Now, my nerves weren't too bad, because I've always believed that God made me just dumb enough to not be afraid of a mic. But then Pastor Nick walked in. All of a sudden, I got just a little bit jittery. And so I preach my short sermon. And then in the hustle and bustle afterwards, I see Pastor Nick make a beeline towards my dad. And they talk. And then my dad makes a beeline towards me. And he comes and he's like, Franco, Pastor Nick said you did a great job. And so my spirit soared. But of course, as I was preparing this message and thinking about this story, it's humorous to look back at it. Because if you know Pastor Nick, it's hard to imagine him telling my father I did a terrible job, right? But regardless, that memory, it remains untainted. And when I look back, I see a seed planted. And then 3 to 4 years later, that seed, one of several, it bloomed into a calling to ministry. Harvest Time was the place where I discovered a passion for Jesus, for worship, and for the word, that became a compelling desire to share the beauty of Jesus and his word through ministry. And so at 17, I shared with my youth pastor that I had felt called. And 3-4 weeks later, I had a chance encounter with Pastor Glenn in the lobby of Phase 1. And that day, another seed was planted. It was more of a dream, because Pastor Glenn looked at me and said, Franco, one day you will be preaching here. That was 18 years ago. Pastor Glenn might not tell you this, but I will. There were a few times, more than a few, that I hinted at Pastor Glenn about wink, wink, nudge, nudge. When am I preaching here? And yet it didn't happen right away. And another confession, it's very, very possible, Harvest Time, that your custodian may have put in a few words for me. If you don't know, that's my dad. My dad is hands down the best silent preacher you will ever meet. He's a man whose words are few because his actions say so much. I'm proud to be his son, but Harvest Time, I'm proud to be a son of the house and be back tonight. Now, part of me thinks that Pastor Glenn was just waiting for me to get married before he had me back. And I gotta tell you, Pastor Glenn, had I known that, you still would have had to wait until I met Jackie in 2018 and got married here 2.5 years ago in February of 2019. Jackie is my daily encounter with grace. She is my daily reminder that the scriptures are true, because undoubtedly in her, I have found an incredibly, overwhelmingly good thing. That lovely lady right there in the yellow is my daily encounter with grace. And I share that because she was the missing piece to this book getting written, this book that Pastor Glenn shared with you, that hopefully in early 2022 will be published. The publisher has it right now, and they're working on it. But me and Jackie coming together was just awesome, because it had just God's fingerprints all over it. And so it's just such an honor to be back in the house with Jackie here with me tonight. And so all of that to say, Harvest Time, I'm honored to be here tonight, because it was this church that formed me. It was this church with about 200 people meeting in a civic center that helped me find Jesus and make him the center of my life. It was this church that at 12 years old had me playing drums for second service in that wonderful gym whose acoustics were so incredible. Nicole, help me out here. Yep. I just wanted to prove that I go way back when it comes to Harvest Time. And Pastor Glenn, I have to confess that that kid right there, there were a few times from your position across the sanctuary, you tried to get me to turn my volume down on the drums. And church, I have to confess, out of youthful enthusiasm, I may have ignored him. And you know, when I look at that picture, besides laughing incredibly hard, I see proof that today I'm twice the man I used to be. It's a joke. I promise you're allowed to laugh. I wrote that, so it's not a surprise. But I just want to thank you. Thank you for giving me the moment to cover what it means to be a son of the house. And now I get to do my favorite thing ever. Let's make much of Jesus tonight through the reading, teaching, and preaching of his word. Amen? And so in today's message, we see time as an underlying factor. This story appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but I'm going to share with you mainly from the Mark 5 account. In Mark 5, we find an encounter between Jesus and a woman who has suffered health-wise for 12 years. Doctor after doctor had yielded no results. The financial effect was tremendous, and yet she had nothing to show for it. As we unpack this story, if you've been struggling with something that has been draining you and challenging you, I pray you might find a renewed strength to reach out and grab a hold of Jesus to experience the breakthrough you have been so patiently longing for. Amen? Let's read together. Mark 5, 24 through 34. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." My prayer today is that you would hear of a Savior that will help you see him for all he is. Lord, help John 12:21 resound in our hearts tonight. Sir, we would see Jesus. In fact, not just see him, but correctly perceive him. As Mark 4 tells us, that we shouldn't be ever seeing, but perceiving. Now, I need you to repeat after me. There's three words that are going to mark the progress of tonight's message. So the first word is perception. Reception. Reaction. All right? So perception, reception, reaction. Perception plays the major part in the opening of this story in Mark 5, verse 28. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. Her perception of Jesus was absolutely spot on. Jesus is her healing. He is not just what she needs, he is who she needs. But understand something crucial here. As spot on as her perception was, correct perception did not provide the healing. Her perception of Jesus had to be coupled with action towards Jesus. Without action, no matter how correct her perception of Jesus, she wouldn't have the reception of healing from Jesus if action did not take her to Jesus. But there's another level to this perception point. It's not just about perception of Jesus. It's also about perception of yourself. Her accurate perception of Jesus flows from a correct perception of herself. I am broken. I am sick, but Jesus is my healing. Jesus is my wholeness. She had an accurate perception both of herself and of Jesus. But remember, perception alone is not enough. There needed to be action coupled with perception. So I want to ask you tonight, have you ever struggled with being aware of an issue but not being able to find resolution to said issue? You might feel like you know every angle of the issue, forwards, backwards, upside down, and yet the issue remains. When I have a struggle where I have awareness of my issue, but I lack breakthrough, I always think of this story and I ask myself, what am I not acting on? Because you see, we can be prideful in our awareness, but awareness without actions leads to same old, same old. Without the humility of submission, of seeing myself as broken, but Jesus as my wholeness and my completion, we will always find ourselves painfully aware of shortcomings that coexist with an all-sufficient grace, all because we lacked the correct perception. An incorrect perception of ourselves can leave us doubting an all-sufficient grace that is unleashed when we humbly submit to the lordship of Christ. It is the humility of submission that opens the door to provide us with an all-sufficient transforming grace that takes us from death to life. Awareness alone does not provide the breakthrough. And look, we see her self-perception in how she approaches Jesus. Verse 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd. Believers, maybe you remember before you knew Christ, that maybe you felt like, okay, these church people, they have stuff figured out. I don't know if I'm good enough to come in through the front door. Maybe just let me sneak in through the side door and I'll sit towards the back. I'll be last one in and first one out because maybe I'm not good enough for this whole church thing. We see that self-perception reflected in this woman because she doesn't approach Jesus head on. She comes up from behind. But her perception is met with action. And here is what inspires me about this woman. She had such a big faith that just a little bit of Jesus would change her life. Just a little bit of Jesus. Just a little bit of Jesus would provide the healing and the wholeness that she was looking for. She knew a little bit of Jesus could change it all. Could I get an amen? I'm a millennial, so you need to give me feedback, right? Okay?
If you've been seeking wellness and wholeness in your life, wondering if Jesus is it, and you're looking at the whole of Christian life, and you're wondering if you can do all of that, I want you to stop. And tonight, I just want you to grab a little bit of Jesus. Because that little bit of Jesus, it transforms, it saves, it heals, it brings breakthrough. Just a little bit of Jesus. Tonight, you might be someone who thinks you want to sneak up on Jesus from behind or come in church through the side door because you've got too much going on or you're not good enough. But here's the truth. The more issues you've got in your life, the more room you have for God to do something. That holier-than-thou Christian that walks around with their nose up, man, guess what? God has work to do in them too. Listen, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Whenever I sing that song, right, I think about uppity, snobby Christians who judge because, oh my gosh, they're so lost, right? Did you know that this person did this and that? And they get all uppity because that person was so lost. But here's the way I think about it, right? Imagine you're invited to a dinner party. You get lost 5 blocks away from where the party is. And your best friend gets lost the next state over. You're both lost. You're not at the party. They don't get any more of the party than you did because you're both lost. Church, believers, there should be no judgment on our parts for people who are desiring to come to Christ, but because they don't fit our mold, we don't accept them. We should be a glimpse of Jesus to each and every person we come across so that when they hear the love of Jesus in the seat, they can say, I saw that Jesus somewhere else first, right? There's a story of a revival that breaks out in a town, and there's the town drunk shows up to the revival meeting, and everyone can smell when he gets there. And so he walks in, and he just walks right up front, and he sits on the ground. He's there, and he's weeping through the whole service. And at that church, there's a custodian named Jim. And Jim is a salt of the earth guy. He is the guy that you can depend on. He's the guy that loves, that cares. And the town drunk knows Jim because Jim has had to clean up after him numerous times. Jim has found him laying out in the street and helped him get home. And so the altar call comes and the town drunk runs up to that altar and the town drunk starts screaming this, "Make me like Jim." And he's just shouting, "Make me like Jim, make me like Jim." And so the preacher comes up behind the drunk and he goes, "You know, I think you should say, make me like Jesus." And the town drunk stops for a second and he looks up at the preacher and he goes, "Is Jesus like Jim?" Why? Jim had shown a love. Jim had shown a care to this drunk that he wanted to be like Jim, but he didn't know that Jim was getting all of his notes from Jesus on how to love and how to care. And so that town drunk, he might not have ever come into a church, but Jim was a glimpse of Jesus that led that drunk right back to Christ. Perception needs to be coupled with action. She saw Jesus and she said, "I will be made whole if I just grab his garment." But remember, perception alone is not enough. Perception had to be coupled with action. And so she touches his garment. And verse 29 says, "And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease." Part two, reception, right? Perception was first. Reception is second. She receives an instantaneous healing. She received what she had perceived from the beginning. Why? Action grounded in faith propels you from belief to relief. She had a belief that healing would come, But that belief didn't become relief until her perception was coupled with action, and perception led to reception. So let me help break down this perception-reception relationship, right? Any NFL fans in here? Okay, so the technical term for a catch, right, is receptions. So I have a question for you. How many receptions do you think a blind wide receiver would have in the NFL? Zero, right? If you don't see it coming, you're not going to receive what's been sent your way, right? Actually, in phase one, this story is one of my all-time stories. I shared it with every youth group I was a part of, right? So we're in the lot, we're downstairs, phase one, lobby. And if you guys don't know this, cell phone signals are not that friendly here, right? And so this is back in the Nextel days. You guys remember those? Right? And so there's this girl in the lobby of phase one downstairs, and she's walking around with her Nextel like this, which was never going to happen, okay? So she's walking around, and I look at her, and with a straight face, I just say to her, I'm like, oh, is that a Nextel? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And I said, oh, great. Here's what you need to do. You need to lick the antenna and put it on your forehead. And church, I kid you not, this girl was so desperate for reception, she licked the antenna and she puts it on her forehead, waiting for the reception to go up. And I gotta tell you, her search for reception gave me a pretty funny perception of who she was, because she was quite gullible. In fact, if you look up, it's written, no one. Good job, guys. I thought I'd get someone. So let's talk about this. There was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, I love the miraculous stories of, you know, the gang member who comes up and drug runner, and they meet Jesus, and from one second to the next, they're clean. They don't struggle with urges anymore, and God just came, miraculously touched them. And that's an awesome testimony. But I also know there are other testimonies where it doesn't happen that instantaneously, where there is a struggle to give up the old flesh and continue to walk out in the spirit. And so I know some of you may relate from having to deal with long-term health issues or dealing with the grip of addiction, seeking every remedy possible to find the relief you desire. And yet for each attempt at relief through belief in the next remedy, you feel failed. There's a reality of our humanity and Christianity that often clash, because sometimes the answers we get are not emotionally satisfying. Feelings make poor masters. There's nothing wrong with our emotions and feelings. We were created with them, but sometimes we encounter things on this side that can try us because it's not emotionally satisfying. And that makes me grateful for Paul's example in 2 Corinthians, where Paul is just like, Lord, please take this from me. Please, would you take it? And that's where we get this beautiful verse that tells us, my grace is all sufficient for you. Why? Because when you're weak, God says, I am strong. This all-sufficient grace, it saves, it redeems, and it rescues. And I got to tell you something. I am so glad the Bible calls it an all-sufficient grace. You know why? Imagine how stressful being a Christian would be if it said, I have a mostly sufficient grace for you. No? You're not with me? No. Mostly sufficient, right? Oh, is this the part where his grace runs out? I don't have to wake up every day questioning, because I know that his grace is all sufficient. It is available here and now for whatever you might be facing. And in fact, you know, going back to that hymn, Amazing Grace, right? It tells us about a grace that has brought us through many dangers, toils, and snares. But then what does it tell us? This grace will lead me home. And so this grace is so incredible because it finds us where we are. And it has no problem finding us at the bottom of a pit. It has no problem finding us at the end of our rope. But grace says this: I love you too much to leave you where you are. I have a journey to take you on. And so grace invites us on this journey to follow grace home. But I love coupling that thought with Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. What does it mean? The entourage of God's greatness surrounds me. I've got his grace leading me home, and I've got his goodness and his mercy buffering me in my wake for me to fall back on when I'm weak. Am I speaking to anyone? That we have those days when we struggle. We have those days when we're weak. But between Amazing Grace and Psalm 23, I see this entourage of God's greatness that surrounds us as we stay faithful in picking up our cross and following Jesus. When you look at this story, I hope that you're inspired and filled with confidence at this great Savior who is more than able to meet your need. Because from the ending of Mark 4 to this encounter in Mark 5, we see three things. First, the spiritual world obeys Jesus. Jesus encounters a demon-possessed man, and the demon listens to Jesus. Then we see the natural world obeys Jesus. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and the storm went away. And now we see the physical world obeys Jesus. And I love it because she snuck up on Jesus, right? She's like, oh, Jesus isn't going to see me coming. I'm going to grab it and I'm going to go, right? She's like the first grab and go, right? So she comes up behind Jesus. She grabs his hem, and yet she becomes healed and whole through the power of Jesus. Even though Jesus was walking this way and she came up behind him, the physical world obeyed Jesus. One mere touch transformed miraculously. You might have the belief that grace can do so, but tonight I want you to see it. I want you to take action towards it so that your belief can become relief when you grab just that little bit of Jesus. Is there anyone here who needs that little bit of Jesus? And so let's go a little bit deeper. So the woman is unclean because of the issue that she's dealing with, which means she is ceremonially unclean, which means she needs to keep a ceremonial distance, which I'm not trying to be glib here, but after COVID, I think we can understand distancing a little bit better, right? And so it says you need to stay away. You need to keep your social distance away. And so when I think of those who were unclean, there's a decent list of what makes one unclean. But I think the most common unclean group or popular were the lepers, right? Lepers, and lepers are pretty visibly easy to identify. And yet here is this woman among those ceremonially unclean, and because what makes her unclean is internal and not external, I have to imagine that there's a shocking disparity between lepers and herself. And yet her crowd was these lepers and those that were unclean, and the ceremonial law dictates you can't be among us. But listen, when she had the correct perception of Jesus, that Jesus was what would heal her and make her whole, Jesus also provided something else. Listen to me closely tonight. Christ provides the clarity that your condition does not have to dictate your crowd. Christ provides a clarity that your condition does not have to dictate your crowd. You have surrounded yourself with people because of how you've judged yourself. Your circle has limited you because you've let circumstances, conditions, and your own self-judgment determine that's what you're good enough for. But God Jesus, this sovereign, all-powerful Jesus Christ, he provides a clarity. No matter your condition does not dictate your crowd. Break free. Jesus provides the ultimate breakthrough when you break free for him. Can I preach to you for a minute? Are you ready? Your break free, your breakthrough is only as powerful as what you break for. The breakthrough in your breaking free is who you break for. People get more caught up in what they're breaking from than what they're breaking for. And because they're more preoccupied with moving away from what they're breaking from, there's no breakthrough in their break free because they can't say what they broke for.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I thought that was good too.
The breakthrough in their breaking free, it only happens if you set your mind on what you're breaking for. And that's why if you're more preoccupied with breaking from something than breaking for something, that's why you go from one unhealthy relationship to another. It's why one addiction replaces another addiction. It's why one unhealthy habit replaces another unhealthy habit. We're more focused on getting away from something than moving towards something, and thus the groundwork is laid to move from empty well to empty well. You're so preoccupied with what you're breaking from, your focus isn't on being made well, it's as long as it's not that well. And so think about it. It's like the classic story of when the guy and girl break up. And the guy looks at the girl and he's like, "You're never going to find someone else like me." And she's like, "That's what I hope for." Right? But here's the problem. If all she's looking for is not him, she's going to find 3.5 billion examples of not him. But if she can decide what she's breaking for, that will yield a whole lot more benefit than simply deciding what I'm breaking away from. We sometimes foolishly pride ourselves on how much life we can strain out of empty wells, when in reality, there is a well that never runs dry, that if we take just one sip from, we would never be the same. And Jesus changes all of that. Jesus looked at the woman at the well and he said, "Woman, if you knew who I was. Woman, if you had the correct perception of who I was, I would be able to give you something. But until you perceive me correctly, you won't receive anything I have for you." No amens? Should I repeat that so you say amen? Until you perceive me correctly, you won't receive correctly. Stop worrying about what you want to break from and focus on who you should break for. I mean, just look. Lot's wife. Hey, leave that city. Go. And what does she do? She looks back. And she was incredibly salty for the rest of her life.
See, Bible students here. I like that. Good.
Right? Break for. Don't get stuck on what you're breaking from. Break for. Miracles happen when you make Jesus the focus of your breakthrough, because the power of your breakthrough is determined by what you break for. Your condition does not dictate your crowd. Listen, whatever you are struggling with or dealing with, there is an all-sufficient grace. No matter what your condition is, there is an all-sufficient grace that can transform you from death to life. And listen, here's a simple reality. When you choose to break for Jesus, that means sometimes you wind up giving some people in your current crowd the gift of goodbye. Why? Because if they're not breaking for Jesus, at some point, they're not going to be keeping up with you as you pursue Jesus. And listen, I'm not saying that it has to be some cold-hearted breakup or anything of sorts. I just want you to know, don't let the crowd hold you back. If she had listened to the crowd, she would have never received the breakthrough and the healing and the wholeness that she received. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Listen, when I read this story, you know, it's easy to be like, wow, God could have showed off so much right here. Why? Because when Jesus says, "Who touched me?" right? The Mark account says the disciples were like, "Dude, everyone's touching you. Like, there's a ton of people touching you," right? I personally want to know what was going on between Luke and Peter, because Luke says Peter specifically, right? Luke shouts out Peter's. I'm going to let everyone know for the rest of time that it was Peter who said this, right? And so Peter looks at Jesus and is like, "Man, there's so many people touching you. What do you mean, who touched you?" And I'm just like, man, God could have shown off so easily in this story that whoever touched Jesus was healed. But no, here's the lesson. Just because you're in the crowd doesn't mean you get the healing. Right? There was just one. It was the person who reached out in faith who received. And now listen to me. I love this church. I hope you know that. I wouldn't have shown you that picture if I didn't love this church. Harvest Time is a great crowd to run with. But each and every one of you have to decide you are reaching out to Jesus. Doesn't matter how great your pastor is. It doesn't matter how great your parents' faith was. If you yourself are not reaching out in faith to Jesus, just because you were part of a good crowd doesn't mean anything at the end. Because at the end, God doesn't ask you, "What church were you a member of?" He says, "Did you know my son?" And that's entirely between you and Jesus. That's up to you to decide. In faith, I'm going to continually to reach out because I believe that little bit of Jesus is worth it. I wish I had an amen there. I know that that little bit of Jesus is worth it. And so look at this story, right? We know that Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, right? Like one day I was doing a little pop quiz with my youth students, and so the fill in the blank was Jesus came to blank the law. And one of my kids wrote, "Jesus came to lay down the law." No. Lay down his life? Yes. Not the law, right? Jesus came to fulfill the law. But Jesus came to fulfill the ceremonial law. Right? So, I was a youth pastor for 10 years, so forgive me for this. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. Ceremonial law, not moral law. You cannot show up in a courtroom and go, "I know I murdered him, but Jesus fulfilled the law." Only thing that's going to get you is a straitjacket, okay? Right? Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial law. So the ceremonial law is what was saying that this woman had to stay with the unclean. And yet the very law that said stay away, because he was the fulfillment of that law, when she grabs him, the unclean becomes clean and not the clean unclean. Why? He was the fulfillment of the law. He was the embodiment of grace and truth. He was the living word that took on the human frame and came to us, walked among us, lived a sinless life, so that when he was crucified and rose again, the price that none of us could ever pay, he paid. Christ provided the clarity that her condition didn't have to dictate her crowd, and it compelled her to go. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, if our natural world, the spiritual forces, our physical bodies are all submissive to his authority, then please know this tonight. There is nothing that his grace cannot transform. And so really the question for tonight is this: can you make him the focus of your breakthrough? Can you stop being so preoccupied with breaking from and decide tonight, Jesus is what I'm breaking for? Because I want you to know, whatever need you have, whatever struggle you have, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And like I said, sometimes it happens right away. Sometimes it takes years and years. But either way, what was the story? I think it was in 2 Kings 13 where he's told to shoot the arrows, right? Okay, strike the ground for your victory. And he takes out three arrows and he strikes the ground. And the prophet gets upset and he goes, no, you should have struck the ground as many times as you could. Why? Keep reaching out to God. His will might not look like your will, but his will is perfect and our will, not so much. He's worth continually reaching out for. Listen, another thing I see when I read this story and I apply it to today, if you're waiting for society to make it easier for you to reach out to Jesus, you're going to be waiting a very long time. At best, society is neutral to Christians. At best. I hope, right? And so don't wait for society to make it easy, because I got news for you. That's not happening. You need to determine in yourself, he is worth breaking for no matter what I'm breaking from. If you make him the focus of what you break for, I promise you'll see a breakthrough that only Jesus can bring. Break free for Jesus, and the breakthrough, it will happen. And so let's look at the transforming power of Jesus in this woman's encountering of grace. Christ gave her the clarity that her condition didn't have to dictate her crowd. And so she pushed through and reached out and grabbed his hem and immediately was healed. But the transformation didn't stop there. He said to her, daughter. Listen to me. Jesus's grace, his love, his power, it is so transforming. It did not just transform her condition, it changed her crowd. She was no longer an outsider. Daughter. Daughter. He doesn't just transform condition, he brings her in to the family and he says, daughter. And now, I know I jumped ahead a little bit, but it's because this part of the story, to me, it gets me the most when I think about who God is. Because Jesus asks a question. So let's think about God, right? Jesus is God. Hopefully that fact doesn't blow your mind. We believe Jesus is God, right? And we believe there's three tenets, simple ones, that we have about God. God is all-loving. God is all-powerful. And God is all-knowing. When God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know. Right? Let's look at Scripture. Adam, where are you? Do you think his Adam tracker stopped working? Do you think God didn't know? How about this one? This one gets me really good. Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Rich young ruler, why do you call me good? Here's a funny one. Hey, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Right? And I love that question because literally the next verse says, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Right? And so they're in Philip's hometown and Jesus is just challenging Philip to see how Philip is going to respond. But Jesus asked a question. He asked a question, who touched me? It's not that he didn't know. It's that his grace is so great that once his grace has covered you, it doesn't matter where you've come from or what you've done, because your story no longer shames you, because his story saves you. And so again, look at how complete Jesus' transformation is. It is not just that she is instantly healed. He looks, and to the woman who mere moments before had been an outcast or an outsider, not only does she encounter a healing in her condition, but she finds her crowd changes as well, because Jesus reaches out and says, "Daughter." When Jesus transforms, he transforms completely. And so I just have a few questions for you tonight as the worship team comes back. We're gonna close by singing this song of the goodness of God, right? And it's kind of ironic because the bridge says that his goodness is running after me, and this sermon was about going after Jesus, right? But I want you to know God's goodness is so great that it's worth deciding I can break from everything because I'm breaking for Jesus. And so there's just a few questions I have for you tonight. First, is there something you feel the Lord has been asking of you lately? I want to remind you, if God is asking you a question, he knows. He's waiting to see your response. With the woman at the well, he challenges her. Hey, go get your husband and come back to me. And what happens? She responds in honesty. Same thing. Who touched me? And what happens? Here comes this woman who was afraid. She was afraid that she was going to have to pay the price for breaking the ceremonial law. And so she bows and she's trembling in fear. But what happens? She tells the truth. And Jesus looks at her and he says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Is there something that you've been more worried about breaking from, that you haven't set your mind on what you're breaking for? Tonight, I hope you've heard of a Savior that makes you say, Jesus is worth breaking for. No matter what it is that I have to break from, Jesus is absolutely worth breaking for. And finally, maybe there's something you're aware of, and yet nothing is changing. And maybe you need tonight to couple action with perception and take that step. Take that step towards your healing. Take that step towards restoration. Stop being frustrated that you're so aware of the issue. Couple it with action. Break for Jesus. Grab the hem of his garment and watch what's transformed when you do. And so I'm just going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to close by singing this song. If you want me to pray with you, I'll gladly do so. But if not, let's worship and let's dwell on this goodness of God, this grace that leads us home with the goodness and mercy of God that follows us every day of our lives. I pray that tonight you encounter Jesus in such a way that you go from belief to relief. Let's worship together.
on. Would you just give the Lord a good praise right now? Do you appreciate that word that Franco brought to us this evening? So I came to Christ when I was a kid. And, you know, reading the stories of the Gospels, the story of the Bible, I would always have the same question. But Lord, how do I do that? How do I touch the hem of his garment? Jesus isn't in front of me physically. I can't see him. I can't reach out my hand and touch him physically. And it was always, Lord, how do I do that? How do I do that? You know, it's a little scripture in the book of Acts. St. Paul, preaching on Mars Hill, said, God did everything that he's done, hoping that we would just reach out and touch him because he's not far from any one of us. And there is a reach of faith. There's a touch of faith. You don't have to physically touch his robe. You can touch him by faith. And I'm wondering, maybe if just for a moment before we finish tonight, if there's something in your life. I always am struck at, the Bible says that the woman suffered a great deal, spent everything she had, didn't get better, only got worse. That there's a situation like that in your life, causing you pain right now. Something that there just hasn't been an answer to. The solution hasn't come yet. Just some way that you need him. You know, you can make a touch of faith this evening. And I just want to invite you to do that with me. If you just stretch out your hand, just stretch your finger towards him. And just by faith, touch him this evening. And just receive from him. Come on, I want you to just say this with me, if you will. Would you just say, Jesus, I believe. I perceive that you're exactly what I need. You're everything I need. Jesus, I receive by faith. In Jesus' name. Come on, would you give him one more good praise in this place tonight? I'm going to ask Franco if he would just stay for a little bit. And if you'd like a word of personal prayer, I know Franco will be happy. Maybe Pastor Ruth, you'd be willing to come. And if some of our prayer folks are here and there's anybody that would just like to receive a personal word of prayer about anything, any issue right now, we would just be happy to pray and minister to you. I'd like to invite you, on either side of the back door, there's an offering plate and there's some offering envelopes. And we'd just like to bless Franco and Jackie this evening and receive an offering just to let them know how much their home church loves them. And so on your way out of the sanctuary, if you'd like to leave an offering for Franco and Jackie, you can make it out to Harvest Sun Church. We're going to put everything together, and we might even add a little something to it. And we're going to just bless Franco and Jackie for coming and ministering to us this evening. There is ice cream out in the out front somewhere, either under the porte cochere or over on the patio. And we want to invite you to just spend a few minutes. The youth are going to be coming out of youth group, and the kids are going to be coming from the kids sports program. And so if you'd like to, it's a fine summer evening. If you'd like to spend a few minutes fellowshipping with us before you go on with your evening, we would love for you to do that. So let's just finish with a word of prayer. And then I'm going to invite Franco and Pastor Ruth. Pastor Nick is here. And if anybody likes some personal prayer, maybe the worship team will play just a little bit longer for us. And we'll be happy to pray with you. Let's give thanks. Father, thank you so much now for this time in your presence. Thank you for precious Franco and Jackie, Lord. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for your hand upon them, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you that the steps of your righteous ones are ordered by you. And Lord, you know the great things that you have prepared for Franco and Jackie, for their family, Lord Jesus. Father, bless them. I pray that you'd bless them even on their trip home this evening. Lord, just surround them, Lord, with the joy of the Lord and the peace of Christ. Father, I pray that you'd go with us all this evening, and we give you thanks. And everybody said, amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. If you like prayer, come. We'll be happy to pray with you. There's some ice cream and fellowship outside, and we'd love for you to stick around for a little bit. God bless you.